Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Well, we hope everybody had a great Merry Christmas Eve and a Merry Christmas. But now we are back here on December 26th talking about that Lions loss on Christmas Eve. We hope that didn't ruin the rest of your holidays. It definitely put a little damper on it for us. But you know, we're still with family. We got good food, some good drinks. So it wasn't all bad. But we needed a lot of Kool-Aid this weekend going into the last 2 weeks where the Lions are still battling for a playoff position. We'll talk about that, the playoff scenarios, what it's going to take for the Lions to get in, but then we'll react to this game, what it means going forward and for the future of the franchise. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. We hope everybody had a great holiday with the Christmas holiday or whatever you celebrate. But now we are back recording this on December 26th. We've really taken some time to soak in what we watched over the weekend in the ass-kicking from the Panthers. 37-23 loss. And honestly, from the get-go, the Lions didn't really seem to have too much of a chance in this one just by the way they came out and played. But we'll get into all that in a moment. But before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got UJ.
Merry Christmas, Lions fans.
And Red Dog.
Yo!
So, as I mentioned, the Lions lose 37-23. They give up a franchise record for Carolina, 320 rushing yards, including two 100-yard rushers from Carolina and Donta Foreman with 165 and Chuba Hubbard with 125. And, I mean, maybe you could see, you could say that the fumble, inside the red zone from the bad snap from Ragnow to Goff was a turning point in this one. But, I mean, when you give up 320 yards, there's a lot more to it than that. And, I mean, what do you guys think? The playoffs are on the line for Lions, and they come out with this type of performance. What do you, is this something foreseeable? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Like, I believe that they could kind of fight this off, but, like, it seemed like they were really holding off a letdown for like a while now. I wanted to think, you know, maybe they overcame it after the Jets game, but they were kind of trending towards like an emotional letdown out there. And so while I was hoping it didn't happen, I wasn't overly surprised. And sometimes when a team comes out and has your number, it's just, it can look real ugly.
We think about that, UJ. You agree?
Yeah, I agree with Red Dog very much on this one. It's just a human element of it. And I think, you know, Campbell's done a wonderful job with his team, building them into a winner, making them believe, making them know what winning is. But this is the next part of the process. You know, these guys, it's hard to go through a stretch like they just did, being as good as they were the last seven games. I don't know, get a little cocky, maybe a little overconfident, maybe just a little mentally worn down a bit. And this is the next step for building a champion. A team has got to build a certain mental toughness, you know, and it's easy for a team like this, so young and everything, to have a letdown like they did. And it's not surprising really at all. And the way it happened, I mean, you can see they were just really kind of never in that game from the beginning. At least the defense wasn't. The offense tried, but
they found some little answers late.
Yeah. Anyway, but
way too late.
It's not too surprising for me, and I'm not extremely bummed out about it. Yeah, it sucked watching it. It was a terrible game to watch.
Yeah, it was miserable.
The question
Lions
is,
Lions going down to Carolina, it has not worked out well for them the last couple times going down there. It's their kryptonite.
Yeah.
Last time they were down there, they lost 20-0 in one of the most boring football games I've ever watched when Matt Patricia was the head coach.
At least this wasn't that bad. At least we put up a little bit of a fight.
Mm-hmm. Your point, UJ, I do like that. And I agree with you. That was my thinking coming into this podcast. It is a young team. Dan Campbell and the organization wanted to play meaningful games in December this year. I mean, this is year two of the 6 years that both of them have. And like you said, it is also a really young roster. And I think they learned a lot about themselves for now and in the future about playing these games in December, especially outdoors. But it's still a good building experience for them in the long run. I fully believe.
Yeah,
this is just another yo-yo in the progression. You're gonna have your ups and your downs, and this one just looked extra down.
The hope is going into this next week that we can learn this as a lesson, or the guys take it as that, and kind of get back to where they were, and not to take it too hard. I think Campbell kind of realized after the game. It's a great little video, a short clip of him congratulating the coach. Carolina saying,
"Yeah, kicked our ass.
Great fucking job." I mean, what else can you say? Fucking kicked our ass. So, but Campbell gets it. I think, I don't know. I wish we could see the inside of the locker room after losing games like that. They always show the winning, speeches, but never the losing ones. Those are the ones that really I would love to see what Campbell's saying to these guys.
Yeah, I will say this, though. As far as of the last three games, the one that would hurt the least to lose, unless, it's the one that mathematically eliminates us somehow because we had to win out or something like that. But if we could afford to lose one, I felt like it was this one. It's an outside of the division game. You're on the road. It has all the hallmarks of a trap game. It was a trap game and they fell into it and they got trapped. But now, the thing about traps is you can break out of them, and they also are a major wake-up call. And when to start, when to get that. If you get that later against the Bears or the Packers, even if we do creep into the playoffs, I know it's a whole new season, but like it just changes the whole perspective of momentum. I feel like now we can win two games out and then, make a chance at the playoff run. I feel like this was the ideal time to do it. I'd rather beat the Bears and the Packers in back-to-back weeks to make the playoffs than have won this game and then, let down against the Bears or the Packers.
Yeah. Do you want to get into playoff outlook now or talk about the team? Which direction we want to take at the moment?
Well, let's go there for a second. Yeah. Let's
playoff
go
to playoff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so right now the sixth seed are the Giants, 8-6-1. They lose. The Lions, despite their loss, actually got a lot of help this week because the Giants, the Commanders, and the Seahawks all lost as well, which kind of stinks also because if the Lions won, they'd be sitting in really good position to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But alas, the Commanders 7-7-1, Seahawks 7-8, then the Lions 7-8, and the Packers are also 7-8. If the Packers out and the Commanders lose one of their final two games, the Packers would make the playoffs. But of course, that means they'd have to go through the Lions as well. So the Lions, as you mentioned, at home against Chicago, on the road in Green Bay to finish up the season. Seattle, they play the Jets, who are trying to still make the playoffs, and a Rams team that just beat the Broncos and got the Broncos coach fired by beating them by 40. So that's a team that has nothing to lose. So Seahawks have a couple tough battles ahead of them. The Commanders, we need them to just lose one of the next two games against the Browns or the Cowboys. That's tough because the Cowboys are probably going to be resting a lot of starters the last week of the season. So the hope is that they lose next week. But the Commanders also don't know who their starting quarterback is going to be. they have a quarterback controversy. The Giants who need to lose out against, pulling up right now, the Colts, who look horrible, they'll be on belief, and then the Eagles, who will probably be resting their starters that final week of the season as well. So the best, the Lions ruined a chance to control their destiny. To a degree,
yeah,
but they still have a 23% chance to make the playoffs. So, still more than we could hope for when we were 1-6. So,
yeah,
not the complete end of the world, but pull out that win against the Bills, pull out the win against the Dolphins or the Eagles or the Vikings earlier in the year, and they're sitting in playoff position. So,
and you know what? Even if we don't make the playoffs, even if we don't make the playoffs this year, if we can win out against the Bears and the Packers and finish 9-8. That would be a tremendous progress for this team, this franchise.
Oh yeah.
Like, I know, like, we're teasing the hope of playoffs, and that alone is like the thrill is so much better than being just nobody this time of year, like, and talking draft. That's so depressing. Just the fact that they've kept the hope even alive this long this year, the way it's gone, like, is a tremendous feat. But like, if we can win out these next two games, I think that's a win. No, that's a win.
Oh,
season,
for sure.
Right. Like, it's huge. The only reason we don't win the division is because the Vikings are just a little more consistent, you know, like, oh my gosh. So that's the thing where we're at right now. The outlook going forward, playoffs or not, there's just so much to be hopeful for with this team. And this game, I don't think, was indicative of our future at all.
And unfortunately, the Lions kind of went 0-2 in a way this weekend because the Rams also won their game, which moves them out of the top five draft position. Now they're sitting at number 7 with two games remaining.
Yeah. How bad is Denver? They suck.
Well, yep, they, like I said, they fired their coach after 15 games. So only the third time in NFL history that's happened.
Wasn't Russell Wilson one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived at one time or something?
He's terrible. I mean,
he's beat up.
He was bad before they traded for him.
He's had a rough career because he's used his legs so much.
That was a great fleecing by Russell Wilson on Denver, though. What, $250 million contract?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't blame him for getting paid like that. That's
I would have given him a shot. He's been
You want the Lions
times.
To get him?
Oh, yep. No, I'm saying if I was in Denver spot, I don't mind the idea. But yeah.
So let's go back to the game.
Okay.
I have a question for you. What are you more concerned about going into the last two games? The Lions rush defense or the Lions rushing offense? Because both in this game were putrid and non-existent in a lot of ways. Detroit ran 17 times for 45 yards. We've mentioned in recent weeks the Lions' lack of rushing prowess. It's definitely been on the decline compared to what it was early in the season. But at the same time, Goff has been playing better at the quarterback position as well. Yeah. So,
well, right.
Potato Big potato. Also, they're complaining from behind, which also hurt the numbers a little bit. But sorry, go ahead, BJ. I talked over you.
No, I mean, you're asking the question. And if it's between those two, the rush defense concerns me more. And mainly because of what you said, Z, that Goff has been covering for our lack of rushing offense, and he's been playing very well along with the receivers. So that can cover up some of our issues in the run game, but the rush defense, man, the big reason we had that stretch, you know, 6 out of 7 games was because of our rush defense suddenly got really good for some reason.
Oh, I think the reasons are obvious there, UJ. You saw a team starting to gel. I mean, you saw Ali McNeil take a major leap in progress. Like, he understood something about leverage. Finally, something clicked for him, and he started lighting the middle of that field on fire. And like, you just saw a team come together and gel as well. Like, everyone started to like figure out their job, and you had two good tackles between Aleem and
Bugs
that really just turned everything around once they started kind of gelling and playing at such a high level. And
so what the hell did Carolina figure out?
Him and Hutch too. I mean, Hutch is an obvious influence too, but my point is it was gelling. You could see where the success was being had though. But to answer your question, Z, I'm not concerned about either. I think I'm just concerned that this team gets back on the right mental track, that, you know, this was just an ebb and you know, the next part of the flow in this journey. Like, Dan's not going to let them get too low about this. I mean, part about leaning into the ass kicking is that, you know, it's an ass kicking. Like, an NFL team came out and kind of kicked your ass today, and that's nothing to be, you know, super bent out of shape about. Like, it happens.
I mean, I'm a little more concerned about the rush defense. Just from this standpoint in this game, like, we just had guys nowhere within like 5 yards of the run.
Oh, running back.
And I think there's some scheming stuff going forward that teams are going to take from this game that could potentially come back to bite us. Especially, I mean, the Bears are no laughing matter next week. They are one of the top rushing offenses in the NFL. and they ran all over us the last time we played them, especially Justin Fields. Now, maybe Justin Fields hopefully has taken his pedal off the metal with 2 games left in a meaningless season for them right now, especially if they want to possibly move up to the number one draft pick or at least stay in the number two spot. So at least it's a good team to face next week. But if Justin Fields is continuing to try to rush like he was the last time we played him, kind of laying his body on the line a little more, that could certainly go into next week a little bit.
I feel you, Z. I get it. But like at the same time, it's so much more like it's not a one or the other. It's about this team playing all around complimentary football again. And they showed that they have the tools to do it. So I'm not really concerned that, you know, they can or can't. It's just a matter of, are they going to get back to that level of execution they were before last week? I think that as long as they do that, I'm really not concerned.
Well, I mean, I'm glad the Lions finally, I don't know where it was in the first, like, after the first few drives, you're like, maybe play more people in the box. They finally started doing it a little more in the second half of this game. They pretty much just loaded the whole box and played man on the outside. I was waiting for that in the first half. Why did they wait till halftime to make that adjustment? That frustrated me a little bit in this game.
It was more than that, though. Everyone was just off their game, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
Okuda got benched in this
trying
one.
To tackle people was ridiculous. He was just lunging at their feet. It was a horrible thing to watch. Iffy out there. Holy cow, I don't know. He made a couple of tackles, I guess, but good Lord, the tackling was awful.
Talk about missing piece to Sean Elliott, UJ.
Yeah, no, that was a big thing, man. Our safeties are a problem right now. We're so weak there. But
you know, we also just got a big game of experience for those guys. So I mean, like the way these coaching staff has been, don't you feel like we'd see a better game next week from Iffy with his athletic ability and the way this coaching staff works? I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be suddenly Deshaun Elliott, but I definitely expect this defense to come out so much better than they did this week. Like that's the thing about an emotional release like this, though, that now that you've broken that like illusion of your greatness and that little, like that monkey on your back, like a win streak, like you get clarity. And I think these guys are going to come back that much better for having gone through this ass kicking.
Hey, that was well said. I just want to compliment you on that. That was good.
Thank you.
That release of that pressure. Yeah, I believe there's something to that, really. It takes a load off. These guys have been under pressure to win every week. They've been doing it. They've been pulling games out. I mean, say what you want, but that's a lot of pressure. And they have something like this. Maybe it's just a nice little, ease the burden a little bit. Like you said, take a little load off their shoulders. Now they can get back, start over again. On a pressure note, So I think there's something definitely with what you said there. I very much agree with you.
Yeah, I hope Okuda can come back because he's been one of our better tacklers on the outside. In this game, he looked a little timid. It was kind of bizarre, but I guess that was the team as a whole, really. But
yeah, I've been. Have you guys? I was going to ask you guys before we move on, Z, because it's related to this. It's just before we move on from this specific thing, though. Have you guys, as former football players, experience games like that where nothing you do works and the other team just has your number? Like no matter what, you feel like there's just, or like you feel like you're even doing okay, but it's still just not enough. The other team keeps getting their way. Like have you guys ever had that? Like I feel like I have, and it's such a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling. I mean, when I was in college, our defense was so good, and we had this drive in our last game of the season that could have kept us out of the playoffs, and that we could not stop the team for anything, man. It was ridiculous. And it was so the most frustrating thing I've ever been through. We wound up tying them, and it was felt like a loss because it kept us out of the playoffs, and it was brutal. But, yeah, it was a helpless feeling. I've never had that feeling before. Like, total helplessness. Like, what are we doing? We always stop people. We can't stop anybody right now. I mean, that was only one drive, but.
But that's exactly like you can extend to a game, and that's what happened to the Lions.
Sure,
sure. Why not?
No, that's a good point. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I've had it happen too. So, yeah, it's tough. But you know, maybe the Lions just like say throw it out the window, 24-hour rule. You know, it's come and gone. Yeah. You review the tape, but yeah. I'm more. I hope the coaches have learned something from this from a game planning standpoint too, because I felt like the Lions were completely caught off guard on a lot of these run plays where there's just people, there's nowhere near the ball. Like, and some of these outside runs, there's just nobody there.
Did you see the way they were just collapsing the Lions? Like, they were just coming down the line of these blocks that were just wiping out like our entire line for these massive gaps.
Yeah, so that really concerns me, because I thought we shored this up in this winning streak, and then it like all came roaring back, pun intended.
Now it's time to adapt, Z. That's how you grow.
It is time to adapt, because, I mean, the next two games have two good rushing offenses, the Packers and the Bears, especially that Packers game. The Packers have won 16 straight games in December, but I'm also really excited, because like that could be a game for the playoffs in the last week of the season at Lambeau. That's a pretty cool
best storyline. If we end that way into a playoff run to like the Super Bowl, that's the best story. That's getting a movie. But before we move on from the rushing attack, Z, like, why didn't this happen from Saquon Barkley? Why didn't this happen from, you know, Dalvin Cook? Why didn't it happen from all these other teams who really actually have a statistically better running attack than what we just saw? This seems to not indicate where we're at. I think they got our number that day, and we were just out of sort. We were out of sync as a defense, and once we were out of sync, we just never got back in sync. Though you did see a little bit later on where you finally saw the line collapsing like we got used to seeing for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was in glimpses only.
Yep, and the Lions are going to have a challenge, as I mentioned, coming up the next week. But we can flip it to the – well, any other defensive players that you wanted to mention? That wasn't really much to highlight. James Houston didn't get a sack this week.
No, not with a run tech like that. Yeah, like,
yeah, tough game. Tough game.
Yeah.
I thought the Bucs personal foul was kind of – that was dumb too. So
yeah, that was
all
disappointing.
You know, that was all part of it. Just, you know, a cherry on top of on the day right there when you got to play like that. Like, finally, we're going to stop. Oh, you give him 15 yards anyway.
Oh, God, it was so frustrating.
We can flip it to the offensive side, though. Jared Goff, 25 of 42, a lot of it playing from behind since we were down 24-7 at the half. 24-42, three touchdowns, and not one, not two, but all three went to Shane Zylstra, the third string tight end. How about that? He had a hell of a day for himself.
Yeah, he had a heck of a day.
DJ Shark had a couple nice long catches in this game. The deep ball looked decent. No catches from Jameson Williams this week, unfortunately. But
yeah, well, I didn't get that at all. I mean, he was in there for a few plays, wasn't he? But
I know.
Just never really saw him. And got through a couple nice deep balls in this game.
That one to Raymond was sick.
He did. Actually, I wanted it more earlier. Like,
I know.
These guys, it's working. Like,
put our speed out there.
Really? I don't see why we didn't do no more. And I don't see why we didn't throw to James and Williams. I just don't get it. What are they saving him for?
Yeah.
I mean, again, he's
more. They're overcautious right now.
Yeah.
Maybe he. It's not just the speed is an obvious weapon, but maybe he's not showing it all in practice yet that he deserves it. Like, cause you got guys like Raymond and Chark taking the top off already. I mean, I guess you could make some more efforts to get it to him, but I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Kind of. I have mixed feelings though.
Seems like I kid gloves with him, you know, as far as using them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking, but, if a guy can play, he either can play or he can't play. Right. So fucking throw the ball.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Like a damn crossing route or something. Like, be gone.
I know. Right.
Of course, probably don't want him to get his clock cleaned or something. I don't know.
I mean, Khalif Raymond had another big play in this one too—a 56-yard catch.
Yeah, dirty.
Oh yeah, he's been a really solid player. I mean, we talked about him last episode with the Jets.
That was the ball that Goff needed to throw to Jameson Williams last week in the underthrow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, the two bombs go through, though, were dimes, though. They were beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, the Khalif Raymond one wasn't exactly a dime, but it was a great catch, too. But it was still
what
a good throw.
What do you
throw.
Mean it wasn't a dime?
And the Chark was an awesome throw. I mean, just.
Yeah.
Raymond had to make an incredible diving
catch. He did make a good catch.
but for as bad as we said the defense was, the offense, still had a lot to say in this one. I mean, in terms of. We needed the offense to step up, and they didn't in this one as well. They finally had the big turnover that we've been avoiding a lot of recent weeks, which sucked because it seemed like the Lions had the momentum at that point. It was 7-7. Yeah. They have a chance to go up 14-7. They get it in the red zone, and they're moving the ball really consistently the whole drive, mm-hmm. and then just fumble the ball on a snap from your all-pro center.
That was the kind of game it was, man.
Like, yep.
Yeah,
and it happens like you said, Red Dog, but it just sucks that the Lions offense can step up to keep it close throughout the game.
Our run game worries me a lot, though. Swift not look that great. I think Jamal Williams is getting beat down a little bit from a long season. He doesn't seem to quite have the legs anymore.
And, they need Swift to start stepping up a little more. Put Justin Jackson in there more then.
Agree. Well, they are playing Jackson a little more, it seems like. But he only Swift one has carry to pick up his game, man. Nope. Swift has
it
to
seems
pick
like
up.
Our O-line's not blocking exactly spectacular either in the run
no, game. I would agree like, with that. I think it's more the O-line. This is on more on the O-line lately with the run game issues.
Well, I think that's kind of an example of why our offense has been tilting so hard towards pass. And, like, we've been successful at it. And then we face two good defenses where they can afford to take away the run and to defend the pass so well, and that's why we kind of struggled. I mean, that was sort of what happened against the Patriots too, right? But like, and then this game, like, you get Decker failing miserably against the guy we could have taken over, Hockenson, and like everyone just let down. Like, our rocks broke for a day, you know. Like, Decker's been our best offensive lineman probably almost, maybe, you know, right now. I don't know, but he's been very airtight. I don't, but like his stats are, Decker's are, doesn't he rate higher than him a lot of the time in pass blocking? I don't know. He's one of the top in the game right now, and he, of course, struggled that day. So it's like, mm-hmm. that was just the kind of day it was. Our best players even let us down. The O-line did not do a great job.
Yep, and
I just want to say hats off to Goff in this game for struggling through a really tough game. Do what he did, not turn the ball over. Well, he got that one turnover. I think it was more on Ragnow than it was on Goff, but
it wasn't a decision, though.
Really kind of a well-played game by Goff and under rough circumstances. So gonna give him a little bit of
credit. I'd agree, and people have given him a lot of hard criticism for his play in the cold, like from his past, but I thought he looked great in the cold in this one. Like, like we mentioned, the deep ball looked good. So, yeah, I wouldn't put this one on much on him necessarily, although he's making the adjustments out there and such, so it does fall on him to a degree still.
Of course.
But, like, the whole team. I mean, the whole team, like, Red Dog.
It was a team loss, you know?
Yep, team loss.
Full team loss. We win as a team, and we lose miserably as a team.
Well, just like the players, the fans should just forget about this one, too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yep. Let it go. On to the next one.
Well, as I mentioned, the Lions hosting the Bears on New Year's Day. So we have NFL football on Christmas, and now NFL and Christmas Eve and Christmas. Now we have NFL football on Christmas Day. The Lions are 5.5-point favorites right now at home. So we need Ford Field still to get loud. The Lions still have a really good shot. We'll be scoreboard watching the Giants, the Commanders, and the Seahawks this week. Hopefully the Lions continue to get some help. And then we go take it in Lambeau. How sweet would that be? That would be incredible.
Amazing.
That would be amazing. The Packers have two home games in a row to end the season. We need to win to even make it possible. So
I just want to wipe that smile off Aaron Rodgers' face, man. See him pout his way into the new year. Be great.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. So we appreciate everybody coming on. soaking in the loss, but do not be discouraged. We still got two games left. The playoffs are still a possibility, so there's a lot to look forward to. And like Red Dog said earlier, we're not talking about the draft right now. Besides, like where the Lions, you know, could potentially be in the top 10, but other than that, we have
the Rams
draft prospects, quarterbacks, none of that. We are still focused on trying to make the playoffs, which is a great sign. Something we haven't really been talking about in the last 3-4 years. So
it's like water in a desert.
Oh, you don't say.
Oasis.
So we want to thank SidelineReport.com for hosting a podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. Yeah. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about the Lions' recent performance and the upcoming week. Do you think the Lions can still make the playoffs? Well, listen to this podcast. You're probably drinking a Blue Kool-Aid, and you're probably saying, hell yeah. But if you're not, or if you are, we want to hear it either way. Okay. You got a question?
One question. Hey, man. When you're watching the game on New Year's Day, are you going to be hungover or still drunk?
It might be A, but then I just need the hair of the dog.
D all the above, Pat.
Okay.
How about you, UJ?
Oh, most likely still drunk. That's my guess.
That would be my guess, too, if I had to guess. All right. Wait, what about Road Dog? You didn't give an answer.
I said all of the above.
Oh, all the above. Okay, sorry. Yes, you did say that. All right. Well, listeners too. Yeah, it's Instagram or Twitter. Let us know what your state of mind will be for the noon kickoff on New Year's Day. It's
the New Year, baby.
Also, thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Oh, that was one of our worst ones. Yeah, that's okay. a little rough around the edge on that one. But that's
more
all right.
Artistic take on it.
But otherwise, we want to thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate you, listeners. We'll be back later this week previewing the upcoming game. We'll have a real special guest entering the Lions Den later this week, too. So look out for
you
that.
You won't want to miss this one.
I don't think, it'll be his first time. And I think you'll really find it interesting. So, but we want to thank everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.